listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today. And it's for me. Will you please pray with me and pray for me, oh God? I pause right now thanking you for this opportunity to once again proclaim your word, and I would ask that on this day you would hide me in the shadow of the cross and save me from me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not going to sing these words, but I am going to say them. I would ask that you not, if you can't sing, don't sing along. I know you have to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind because you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg, and you know it. Please don't leave me, Lord. Don't you go. Ain't too proud to plead, Jesus, Jesus. Please don't leave me, Lord. Don't you go. Borrowing from a slightly modified some lyrics from a soon-to-be 60-year-old Temptations hit, I am reminded of the very real probability that the majority of us have had to beg once or twice in our life. Begging. When many of us hear the word begging, we might immediately picture some indigent, houseless, and hopeless individual who cannot provide for themselves. But this picture may not be entirely accurate. Let's be honest. Nearly every one of us have begged, are begging, or will beg when we want something. When we want someone or have messed up with somebody badly. Ooh, baby, please. That's begging. When we do not want someone badly, ooh, child, please. That's begging. When we wish that we did not and do not want something really, really, really badly, ooh, officer, please. That's begging. Yes, the majority of us have begged, are begging, or will beg. However, I submit that we need a lesson in begging etiquette from the how-to manual. Did you know that there's a how-to manual on how to beg? Some of us call it a Bible. We need a refresher, if you will, on some of the do's and don'ts of begging. In other words, how to become an effective beggar. We don't want to become like that cousin we all know who will ask for money and then become upset because what we have is not what they expected. We don't want to be like that relative we all know who asks to be involved in something that is something that they have chosen and then become angry because they did not play a significant enough role in that something. That's not begging. That's asking with a hint of privilege. That is not begging, church. That's being pretty, petty, and proud in our asking. But our word from God today is that too many of us have become pretty and petty and proud when we really need to relearn how to beg. If we really want Jesus to move in our life and the life of our community and the life of our nation and the life of our church, then we have to get back and go back to the manual on learning how to beg. Learning how to beg. If we really want Jesus to move that mountain or remove that pain or protect us while we are going through something, then we need to learn that lesson and beg like we really mean business. We do have a word. Some of us are trapped in a vicious cycle of pain because begging is beneath us. Some of us are trapped in a hurt right now because begging is for someone else. Some of us are trapped in an empty and unfulfilling existence right now because, you know, begging just isn't part of my DNA. However, if we are looking for Jesus to show up, then we better learn how to come down from our golden palace and beg like we mean it. If we really are seeking peace and joy that only Jesus can offer, we better come off our high horse and beg like we mean business. Pride has no place here. Pride has no room in this hotel. When it comes to seeking a blessing from Jesus, we need to take on that attitude found in the old Temptations hit, "Ain't Too Proud to Beg." I love that song. In our lesson today, Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem and he is entering a village. And as he's coming into the village, he comes across 10 people who have leprosy. Now, for those who may not know, people with leprosy back then were avoided at all costs because they were seen as cursed or contagious. Leprosy or Hansen's disease is a visible affliction. We can see the white or pink patches of skin. In biblical times, leprosy was considered to be a curse. A curse. A person with leprosy must have done something to anger or displease God. Leprosy was an affliction that begins on the inside and may fester for years before it erupts on the outside. You know, there are some afflictions that start on the inside and erupt on the outside that we can talk or maybe relate to. You know, we can't see pride, but it will allow us to step all over people in order to reach the top. We can't see jealousy, but more good relationships have been ruined by the haterade that we pour out. We can't see insincerity, but it will make us lie out both sides of our mouth right out in the open. We cannot see hate, but it brings about atrocities in Gaza and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, even personal attacks on an artist chosen as the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl because his native tongue is Spanish and he has had the audacity to criticize how the administration has ostracized, minimized, and mistreated our fellow citizens on the island of Puerto Rico. Y'all heard of Bad Bunny?
Yeah.
All right. I like Bad Bunny. Let me get back to the story. These 10 social outcasts approach Jesus and they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, this brings us to our first step in proper begging etiquette from our how-to manual. When you beg, go to the right source. When you beg, go to the right source. This past year or this past month or this past week, come on now, somebody might even say this past hour, we have had to deal, some of us, with adversity. And most of us are caught up in that I can do it myself mentality. You know, if it's broken, I can fix it. But believe it or not, there are some things we just cannot fix. You may know of what I speak here. We may have spouses or partners or significant others, even children, deciding to divorce us. We have had the demons of addiction rise up and bring us crashing down. We have had to deal with the suffering or death of a loved one or the financial struggles that come about in this society, even legal problems. Doctors, lawyers, CPAs, educators, these are all honorable professions. However, it is Jesus working through our doctor who heals us. It is Jesus working through our attorney that keeps us out of jail. It is Jesus working through our educators who give us the tools to retain and apply information. Just like those 10 people with leprosy, we must realize that it is Jesus who can calm the storms that are raging in our lives. Jesus is the one who can provide the refuge to protect us when we are feeling threatened. Jesus is the one who gives us the strength to face and overcome the roadblocks that are placed in our paths. Jesus is the one who lifts up valleys and brings down mountains. It's Jesus. And only Jesus. If we want to beg right, we need to get right, becoming comfortable in our crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. On us. Second how-to. The second rule is remember to beg for more than just yourself. With all the junk that we have dealt with in our collective and individual past, it's easy to get stuck in a well of self-pity. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking, only I have problems, only I have trials and tribulations, only I am in a mess. But when we cry out to Jesus, we need to replace the I with a me and. Me and. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me and those who are suffering from AIDS. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me and those who are suffering with cancer. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me and those who are born inside and outside of these untied, United States of America. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me and those hundreds of thousands of federal employees who have been furloughed or fired because of political posturing. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I'm almost done. Giants have already played. Jets don't matter. This brings us to the last and most important rule from our how-to manual in effective begging. Remember to say thank you. Remember to say thank you. Jesus has healed 10 people with leprosy, and only one returns to say thank you. And the one that returns to say thank you is not one of the upper crust. He is a Samaritan. An outsider, a person of mixed blood, unclean and looked down upon by the good religious establishment folks of that day. This Samaritan must have been one of my relatives, because the scripture tells us that when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice and thanked Jesus. We get loud for all kinds of reasons. We get loud at football games and used to be baseball games. We get loud at nightclubs, even when the music has stopped playing. We even get loud at the movie theaters. Some of us, especially after the movie has already started. But start talking about God. Start asking someone to tell you about how God has blessed them, how God has delivered them, how God has brought them through. You might get a, or you might get one of these, or you might even get crickets. For the most part, we are a people who know how to say thank you sometimes. We thank grocers sometimes. We thank bank tellers sometimes. We thank our parents sometimes. We thank our loved ones that we love that day. Sometimes, when we face trials in our life, we know how to say thank you. We thank the doctors who treated us. We thank the attorneys who represented us. We thank the judge for not ruling against us. We even thank the preacher who will come to our home, hospitals, and spaces of incarceration for a visit. Yet we know how to say thank you. But when it comes to thanking the one that we cried out to in the midst of our greatest pain, when it comes to saying thank you to the one that we cried out to when we were lost and in our prayer closet, when it comes to saying thank you to the one that we only could call on in the midnight hour, well, Jesus, you know how it is. We received our new lease on life. We get our second chance with our spouse or our partner. We actually won't have to go to jail, and Jesus becomes an afterthought. Or worse, no thought. This Samaritan got loud, David Gilmour loud, praising God, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, thanking him. And after Jesus looked around for the other nine, he tells this outcast, "Get up. Your faith has made you well." No, begging the right way definitely has its advantages. And make no mistake, if we live our lives the way Jesus taught us, faithfully loving our neighbor, faithfully feeding the hungry, faithfully clothing the naked, faithfully visiting those who are sick and in prison, then each of us at one time or another will have to beg just a little bit. But isn't it good to know that Jesus sees us and heals us right where we are? Isn't it good to know that no matter what our race or ethnicity may be, no matter what our social or economic status may be, no matter who we love or what our last name may be, Jesus will see us and heal us right where we are? The Lord sent me to tell somebody today that your blessing, your real blessing, is waiting. Just for you. All you got to do is learn how to beg a little bit. Try Jesus and cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," and watch Jesus heal you inside and out. Cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," and watch him heal our cravings for those things and people who are harmful to us. Cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," and watch him heal our desires to hurt others because we are hurting. Cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," and watch him bring us peace in the midst of our confusion. Watch him bring us joy in the midst of our pain. Watch him bring us love in the midst of hatred. And then, remember to say thank you. Say thank you for bringing me out. Say thank you for delivering me. Say thank you for those twins called Grace and Mercy. Say thank you for providing a way when there was no way. Say thank you for delivering me through the storm that was in my life. Just say thank you for saving me. Someone listening today needs to say thank you. You're hearing this, and now you may feel a little bit hopeful when once you were hopeless. Say thank you. Somebody listening today may be feeling some peace when you were once confused. Say thank you. Someone listening may recognize God loves you enough. God loves you enough to have you in this place at this time hearing this word of hope. Say thank you. What are you going to do with your gift? What are you going to do with your gift? And to all I offer shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.